Hi, everybody. It's Nick Forster. We hope you are continuing to enjoy our episodes from the E-Town Archives. This week, we're going to send out some birthday love to longtime friend of the show, Grammy Award-winning folk singer, songwriter, activist, Ani DeFranco. Ani is so great. Her eclectic musical style and politically charged songwriting have made her both a feminist and a rock icon throughout the years. Her music has tackled lots of topics, not just peace or war or corporate greed or gun control and women's rights, to name a few. But she really finds that balance between activism and art in a really unique and wonderful way. We've had the pleasure of hosting her on the E-Town stage, I think 7 times throughout the years. So please enjoy this performance that we recorded at Chautauqua Auditorium here in Boulder with her friend Utah Phillips back in 1996.
I heard the sound of your bike as your wheels hit the gravel, and then your engine in the driveway cutting off. And I pushed through the screen door and I stood out on the porch thinking, fight, fight, fight at all costs. But instead I let you in, just like I've always done, and I sat you down and offered you a beer. And across the kitchen table I fired several rounds, but you were still sitting there when the smoke cleared and you came crawling back to say that you wanna make good in the end. Oh, let me count the ways that I abhor you. And you were never a good lay, and you were never a good friend, but oh, what can I say? I adore you. One t-shirt and 2 socks. I'll keep my hands warm in your pockets, and you can use the engine lock. We'll ride out to California. My arms are on your chest, and I pretend that this is real, cause this is what I like best. And you've been juggling 2 women like a stupid circus clown, telling us both we are the one. And maybe you can keep me from ever being happy, but you're not gonna stop me from having fun. So let's go before I change my mind. I'll leave the luggage of all your lies behind, cause I am better than everything that came before. And you were never very kind, and you let me way down every time. But oh, what can I say? I adore you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. We're here with Ani DeFranco. Let me ask you about how you and Utah Phillips met.
Well, in good folk singer fashion, really. We were both playing in Philly the same night, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, and we were both billeted at the same house. Some doctor, some person with a real job and like 2 extra rooms. So he had like 2 folk singers at his house that night. Right. Yeah.
And was he, I imagine he was probably sort of expecting people like Utah Phillips, and maybe was a little surprised by
it. Yeah,
you.
They locked up all the valuables when I showed up. and it was, you know, it's true. It was kind of, I mean, what you're saying was very true. They were kind of tense. They didn't know what to make of the little bald punk chick. You know, they thought folk singer, and I just didn't fit the model. And so I felt kind of funny. You know, I'd hate to intimidate anyone. But
You do, really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, my. Not me. And so you know, the whole scene was kind of tense. And I walk into the kitchen, and there's Utah sitting there. That everything changed. I swear, from before he even opened his mouth, the whole atmosphere of the room changed. It was just his energy. And I thought, wow. What's he about?
Right. Had you paid attention to people like him when you were learning how to play guitar and sing? Were you?
I wasn't paying attention to anybody. Yeah. Well, no, I was sort of creating music when I was younger, learning how to play music in this sort of a local folk music vacuum. So, I mean, I was very much part of the same tradition, I guess, as Utah. I wasn't aware of him at the time, but I was just hanging out in bars with other people, you know, playing CDG on acoustic guitar. So,
only you started when you were 9 or something, right?
Something like that, single digits.
Yeah.
I needed a big tool. Yeah.
So tell me about this new record that you and Utah Phillips made together.
It's exquisite.
For your new label, actually.
Yeah. Well, this is. I mean, I am so thrilled and so flattered that Utah agreed to subject his work to my tinkering, because this is the first release that I've put out on that we're going to put out on Righteous Bay Records. It's not my little songs, and this is hopefully a direction that we're going to go in now at Righteous Bay. But the fact that Utah agreed to be the next Righteous Babe, right. is a thrill to me.
Well, maybe can we hear a little piece of what this, can we get him out here?
And we could try that.
Yeah, let's check that out.
All right.
Utah, come on out. And Mr. Utah Phillips.
Annie wrote me a letter, and she said she'd picked up a tape at the place that we both worked through, Fleming and Tammy Leibovich in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and listened to it. She was driving around, and she wrote me this letter and said, I want people that I sing to hear the stories you tell. I'd made up the stories to go between the songs. Well, she asked me to send her a boatload of tapes of live concerts over a 20-year period, so I sent them off. And didn't think about it. She went and drove across the country and listened to all that stuff. Damn. And I've never heard it myself, except once. And that was enough. But then she picked out just the right stories that I would have chosen if I wasn't going to be around any longer. And she put them in the right order with enormous instinct and intelligence, and then surrounded them with her own sounds, and then sent back this tape that's the most extraordinary thing I ever heard. And so, and it's only just earlier today that we tried doing that live, see? So we're going to try it right now. Let me tell you a story. I was in Chicago, and I was staying there at Old Freedom Hall on Lincoln Avenue. It was the office of the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW, the Wobblies. It's a longtime militant labor union I belonged to now for better than 40 years. Well, I talked to the grand old man at the office, Fred Thompson. Fred Thompson was the editor of our newspaper, the Industrial Worker. Fred said to me, you know, we're getting some young people into this union. We need to teach them soapboxing. We need to teach them how to get up on a crate box down on a street corner and spiel, talk to the people, organizing on the street. So we had people used to be able to do that, but we need teachers now. Said the best of the lot was San Francisco Phil Melman. Well now, Phil Melman and Fred Thompson had been cellmates at San Quentin Federal Penitentiary, 1920 to 25. They were political prisoners. They were busted as organizers. They called it criminal syndicalism. Melman got out of jail, did his time, and disappeared. Nobody knew where he was, he was alive or dead. So Fred Thompson said to me, you're traveling in the West now. You see if you can find Phil Melman. I think somebody that little and that tough couldn't have been killed, couldn't have died. You try to find him. Well, I began to hear persistent rumors around San Francisco of Phil Melman down on the mission, on the skids. And yeah, we found him. Little bare wire bulb in a walk-up flat, neat as a pin, and it was Melman, all right. He thought that his union had vanished, that he was the last living member of the Industrial Workers of the World. He thought everybody had died or gone to jail or quit. Given that he thought he was the last living member of his union, every May Day, Phil Melman would take a soapbox, get up onto the N. Judah subway, change trains, make his way up to San Francisco State University. He put that Soapbox up in the quadrangle, get up on it, and in a high, pipey voice, start screeching at the students, start yelling and hollering at him. They wouldn't pay any attention to him. They just thought he was crazy. Well, I had a car in San Francisco, and every May Day for some years, I made sure that I was there every May 1st, and I could pick Melman up at his apartment and his box and drive him up to San Francisco State. I had my guitar with me so I could do it old style, be a shill, you know, like a carny shill that uses tricks to build a crowd. I could bang out Joe Hill songs, Power in the Union, The Preacher and the Slave, and build a crowd, a big donut, about 300 students there wondering what the ruckus was. As soon as I got the crowd together, I put that soapbox up and say, okay, Melman, go get him. Well, by that time he was kind of backed up like bad plumbing, huh? There was a lot inside of him that had been on hold for years and years, and it all came out at once. It was like a machine gun. I can hear him. Fellow workers, the industrial workers of the world is going to organize the entire working class. What is the working class? Fellow worker, by the working class, anybody that works for wages and has a boss. You got a boss, you're working for wages, you're in the working class. Doesn't matter if you're a college professor or a ditch digger, and you better be proud of it. Well, the middle class was just a joke made up by the bosses to keep us fighting against each other. Now, the industrial workers of the world is going to organize the working class into one big union of all skilled, semi-skilled, and unskilled workers in one big union, the OBU. We got the OBU, we'll have a general strike. Strike like that, it'll last about half an hour. Then we'll take this thing apart and put it together so it makes more sense. With a means of production in the hands of the producers, produce for use instead of profit, create abundance for workers and nothing for parasites. Thank you. Melman. Well, old Melman. Last time I saw him alive, they carried him at three flights of stairs there at San Francisco Plowshares. He was incredibly feeble. I went out from backstage and knelt down by his chair. I said, hi, Melman, it's Utah. Well, he said, I said, remember San Francisco State, I'd sing and you'd talk. Well, he cocked his head, opened one eye, and said, oh yeah, you were lousy. Well, it was a couple years ago, a bunch of trade unionists up in Seattle chartered a boat. They were going to take that boat up to Everett, Washington, and they were going to do a memorial to the Everett Massacre in 1916. In 1916, the Wobblies rented a boat called, chartered a steam launch called the Verona, and they all sailed up to bring strike relief into Everett Harbor. But when they docked, Sheriff McRae was at the foot of the ramp, and he yelled, who are your leaders here? And with one voice, they yelled back, we are all leaders here. Well, then he ordered the deputies to start shooting. They raked the deck with gunfire, and a lot of those Wobblies were killed. The Everett Massacre, one of those things that never made it into your history books. I heard the story from Melman. There were about a dozen young Wobblies there in that event from the Seattle branch. I got them together and took them out on the fantail of the boat. One of them had Phil Melman's ashes in a cigar box. Well, they hadn't known him, so I got him in a ring and told him Melman stories for a while. Then every one of those young Wobblies put their hand in that cigar box, took a handful of ashes, and strewed them out onto Puget Sound. Well, I got my hand in the box and got a handful of ashes and said, I've got you, Melman. Lousy, huh?
What's that all over your fingers, your right hand?
Electrical tape.
Electrical tape.
Yeah, it's a little fashion statement of mine. Mm. It's all the rage in Paris.
It's an affordable accessory.
Yeah, Paris, yeah. That's it. Yeah. Well, it's in my little claws, so I don't take.
Well, you are a powerful guitar player. You're really a great guitar player.
Well, thanks. You are too. So
protect those fingers. Anyway, what song have you got picked out for us?
This is one called Cradle and All. Street, the garbage swirls like a cyclone. 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm going home. F train is full of high school students. So much shouting, so much laughter. Last night's underwear in my back pocket. Sure, sign of the morning after. Take me I sing myself a lullaby. Feel free to listen, yeah, feel free to stare. I live in New York, New York, city that never shuts up. In the daylight, everything is so gory. You can hear snatches of strangers' sorry stories. And I moved there from Buffalo, that's nothing. The trichol plant moved to Mexico. Left my uncle standing on the court. Said, here's your last paycheck, have fun growing old. Take me home. Take me home and leave me there. I wanna cry, I don't know why. Thinking I'm gonna sing myself a lullaby. Feel free to listen, yeah, feel free to stare. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the crater will rock. And when the back breaks, the crater will fall. Down rock on, baby, cradling up. Youth is beauty. Money is beauty. Hell, beauty is beauty sometimes. It's the luck of the draw. It's the natural law. It's a joke. It's a crime. I was bored and you were bored. It was a meeting of the minds. And now it's 3 p.m. and I can't leave too soon. Saying thank you, I had a nice time. Take me home. Take me home and leave me there. I think I wanna cry. I don't know why. Think I'm gonna sing my love, lullaby. Feel free to listen, yeah, feel free to stay. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bat breaks, the cradle will fall. Down to come, baby, cradling up. Maybe I'll live my whole life just getting by. Maybe I'll be discovered. Maybe I'll be colonized. You could try to train me like a pet. You could try to teach me to behave. But I'll tell you if I haven't learned it yet. You know I ain't gonna set. I ain't gonna stay. Take me home. Take me home and leave me there. Leave me there. I think I wanna cry. I don't know why. I think I'm gonna sing myself a lullaby. Feel free to listen, yeah, feel free to stare. Feel free to listen, yeah, feel free to stare. Feel free to listen, yeah, feel free to stare.
Thank you.
So great, the place tricks with the eye. Turns the road into water, then from water to sky. And there's a crack in the concrete floor that starts at the sink. There's a bathroom in a gas station, and I've locked myself in it to sink. Hey, mosh pit in E-town. Back in the city, the sun bakes the trash on the curves, and the men are pissing in doorways, and the rats are running in herds. And I got a dream with your face, and it that scares me awake. I put too much on the table, now I got too much at stake. And I might let you off easy. Yeah, I might lead you on. I might wait for you to look for me, and then I might be gone. There's where I come from and where I'm going, and I am lost in between. I might go out to that phone booth and leave a veiled invitation on your machine. And you'll stop me, won't you, if you've heard this one before. Yeah, the one where I surprise you by showing up at your front door. say, let's not ask what next, how or why. I am leaving in the morning, so let's not be shy. Don't be shy. The door opens, the room winces, the housekeeper comes in without a warning, and I squint at the muscular motel light and say, hi, morning. And she jumps, her keys jingle, and she leaves as quickly as she came in, and I roll over and taste the pillow with my grin. Yeah, the sheets are twisted and damp, but it's so great, and I swear I can feel the mattress sinking underneath your weight. Well, yes, sleep is like a fever, and I'm glad when it ends. Yeah, the road flows like a river, and it pulls me around every bend. Stop me, won't you, if you've heard this one before. Yeah, the one where I surprise you by showing up at your front door, saying let's not ask what next, or how or why. I am leaving in the morning, so let's not be shy. Yeah. Doesn't look like you are shy. All the heat is so great. Plays tricks with the eye, turns the road into water, then from water to sky. And there's a crack in the concrete floor that starts at the sink. There's a bathroom in a gas station, and I've locked myself in it to fight. And you'll stop me, won't you, if you've heard this one before. You're the one where I surprise you for showing up at your front door, saying let's not ask what next, how or why. I am young in the morning, so let's not be shy. You'll stop me, won't you, if you've heard this one before. You're the one where I surprise you for showing up at your front door, saying let's not ask what next, how or why. I am leaving in the morning, so let's not be shy. Let's not be shy. Be shy.
Ani DeFranco. Thank you for listening. This is Nick Forster. Join us next week, and we'll be back with more from the E-Town Archives.